We remember Nehemiah, and in fact, we started this month talking about Nehemiah. We started talking about Nehemiah and what it took to build those walls. That was a great task. It took thousands of people to build those walls. And it took each person, each family doing their part as they had their section of the wall to take and dominion over and to build the wall in their section. And to have their section join the next family or the next clan, so to speak, and have it joined together piece by piece. So that the whole wall became one. It became one unified whole by everybody doing their part. It didn't happen randomly. It was very intentional. And with Nehemiah's leadership, it took place. Everybody had a oneness of purpose to finish the wall, to see Jerusalem rebuilt. Unity certainly can be found in oneness of purpose. It's not when we look at ourselves, we say oneness in the body of Christ is not everybody being exactly like each other, okay? We all look and we know that we have uniqueness. Each one unique. We shouldn't be copycats of each other. We weren't made that way, right? I'm not like you, you're not like me, we're not like each other, we're all distinctly different. And that's a good thing. That's a very good thing that we're all distinctly different. And of course, in the body of Christ, we should embrace diversity in a healthy way, in a good way. The good thing is when we all, being different, work together with a unified purpose. Now, I like football. Football is on today. There's the playoffs. You may not care one bit about football, and that's okay. But maybe you understand about team. You understand about team because there's one quarterback, right, on the football team. There's one. He's the one who's going to throw the ball. He's the one who's going to get the ball in his hands on every play. So if you look at a defensive lineman, the defensive lineman does not look like a quarterback. And they're really different. The defensive lineman will never throw the ball. May not even touch the ball the whole game. But what that defensive lineman does is really crucial, really important to the whole team. Because if he doesn't do his job, the other team scores at will and does whatever they want. But each person doing its unique job on the team allows the team to win the game. They all have different assignments, yet everyone does their part. When that happens, good things happen. Good things take place. I'm going to read out of 1 Corinthians 12. You're welcome to join me there if you would like. We're not going to have it on the screen, but if you would like to turn, it's going to be 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. So kind of a lengthy scripture here, so you may want to grab it and look at it, because I will refer back to it. It's going to be our main scripture this morning. I'll give you a second to either find it on your phone or, of course, there's Bibles right in front of you. And by the way, I just feel led to even say this in the midst as you're finding your scripture, 1 Corinthians 12, as you're finding it, what a wonderful expression of the body of Christ in different places, but coming together in unity of what we saw on Wednesday night. Amen. Amen. What a wonderful time we had on Wednesday night, fellowshipping with Destiny Church. And those who trickled in here from other places too, because not everybody was from Messiah, not everybody was from Destiny. We had a few other people who not from either one, but came in on invitation and were blessed, really blessed. We saw some people really get touched on that evening, and I hope you were touched as well. As we, God definitely, He just shows up, but He loves that. He loves it when the body's not saying, well, just us four and no more. And no, we don't want to go over there. They have some kind of, you know, they're premillennial doctrine. We can't go over there. We're this kind of doctrine. And then we divide ourselves so much in the body of Christ. And God says, no, I want the body to come together. I want a kingdom church. And a kingdom church is not divided up. A kingdom church comes together. We may have our unique expressions or unique personalities, But that's okay. Because when it's about Him and we worship Him, then it's amazing how we can find a lot of unity in the body. And God really shows up and He loves that. So that was just a word about Wednesday night. But I thought God was all in it. Well, verse 12, I'm going to pick up there. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. I think Paul does a great job of really hitting that home, of really speaking about how we're many different parts, but together we're one. We're one body, the body of Christ, that God has called us unto Himself to be a unified body unto Him. The Bible talks about everybody doing their part. It says the ear is not the knee and the eye is not the hand and so on and so on, that we're not like each other. We're different. We have differences. And those really are good in many ways because each part is crucial to the whole. The body doesn't work well if you don't have knees. You ever figure that out? Yeah, just ask Cheryl. She got her replacement knee, right? But she's doing well. By the way, we know she's recovering, but keep praying because she's slowly recovering, but she is. Praise God. Each part, each is doing their part to accomplish a greater work. So it's very important to understand that we all have distinct roles, each one of us. And we all play in this whole scheme of things. What we do is very important. Your uniqueness is very important. Your giftedness, your uniqueness, your personality, your abilities, your aptitude, the way you think even, it's important. And it's clear from this passage of Scripture that we need each other. We absolutely need each other, each playing their unique role, each person significant to the body. And it's only when all play their part that the whole body functions well. We see that. We can see that in the analogy that's given. Of the body analogy. Now, in our culture, we put a strong emphasis on individuality, right? Have you ever noticed in our culture? It's kind of like we love the stars that shine. And we give a lot of applause to individuality. And of course, you know, it's a lot about, you know, discovering who you are. And sometimes we even do that in the church as well. We can put a lot of emphasis on individuality. Now, there's a good thing aspect to that in the sense of it's good to discover how God has made you. It really is. It's good to talk with God and have conversations with God. God, how have you made me? What is unique about me? Because I don't have to be like, it shouldn't be like, even like everybody else. So individually, it's good that we discover our role, that we learn about our gifts, the gifts that God has given us. The abilities that God has given us, the calling that's upon our lives. Do you know each of you has a calling upon your life? And it doesn't look like necessarily the person that sits beside you. It can be absolutely different. But we're to learn about our aptitudes. We're even to see how we view things that might be really different than how other people view things. Do you know there's big picture folks that like to see the big picture because that really helps them to see it from a bird's eye view. But then there's people who really love details. I mean, they love it. They love to read those manuals on how to build stuff, and they love to go line by line through the whole thing. There's other people who just throw the book out and just get rid of it and say, no, I just give you a picture. Okay, yes, okay, we'll work it out. And there's just different ways and different attitudes, different ways of approaching things. And that's okay. Some people are more like the heart. They get things flowing. They get things pumping. They're great with relationships. They're connectors. They somehow get things flowing in the body of Christ. There's others who are more like hands. You like hands-on. You like doing. If you're not doing, sometimes your spirituality struggles because you need some hands-on doing. So you like hands. Others are like legs. You really need it because you really are balanced. You really are always focused on keeping balance, not getting too far off one direction or not getting too far off another direction, but making sure there's balance. So many parts in the body, so many functions, yet all working together is crucial. So it is important to learn about our uniqueness. What do we bring to the body of Christ? What do we bring? And each of us has something to bring. But the continuation of this is discovering how we fit, right? We learn our individuality, but how does it fit in the whole? Because we're not just to stand off by ourselves. We're not to stand off by ourselves. We're to learn how we fit in the whole. What we do in the body of Christ allows others to do what they do. Isn't it kind of nice when you can be the hand and you don't have to try to do the foot's job, but you can just do the hand's job? It's kind of hard sometimes when we have to do too many jobs, but we are able to focus on a role. You know, the arm and the hand function really well together. And when they are functioning really well together, things get moved. Things get moved. Moving objects are not a problem. Now, Rick Warren, pastor of Saddleback, said it this way about the body of Christ and your uniqueness and your part. Rick Warren says, only you can be you. Only you can be you. God designed each of us so there would be no duplication in the world. No one has the exact same mix of factors that make you unique. That means no one else on earth will ever be able to play the role God planned for you. If you don't make your unique contribution to the body of Christ, it won't be made. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about that? If you don't make your unique contribution to the body of Christ, it won't be made. That there's lives that will be affected by what you do, by what you give, by what you offer. There are lives that will be affected. Some of those lives are in this room. Some of those lives you've never met. You've never met the people that you're going to affect. And by being in the body of Christ in such a way that you will be strengthened to do more of what you do and do it better. That's what the body of Christ really is about, that we strengthen one another, we build each other up, so that what you do it better. That sounds like a commercial, I know. Probably one I've heard, but that's what the body of Christ does. You find your uniqueness, you find what you give, and then you actually get into a flow with the Lord in a way that you're getting sharpened and strengthened and developed in a way that your uniqueness comes out more and more. God has a work he wants to do in you, and he works it together. He works it together. Each helping each other. You know, missing pieces in the body hurt the life of the body. I don't know about you, but I really appreciate my thumb. Do you ever stop and think, you know, I'm so thankful for my thumbs? You ever stop? I mean, that's a weird thing to think, but think about it. I'm so thankful for my thumbs. Life works better with them. It just works better. And of course, if you've ever had to experience a time where you were injured or, you know, in some way hurt, that you had a missing piece for a moment or a time, you probably appreciated that all the more. said, oh, Lord, that my broken foot, my broken ankle, or whatever it might be that was broken, that it heals and is better. And it's like, oh, thank you, Lord, that these things heal, because I need it back. I need it back. The body doesn't work well unless we all participate. You know, it really does. We get a weak body when parts are missing. Or somehow we believe that what we have to offer is not important. That what we have to offer is not significant. And a lot of times people who believe that what they have to offer is not significant or not important, well, they just don't. They just don't. They say, well, I'm just going to sit it out. Because, you know, what do I really have to give, right? But it's a mindset that hurts the body. It hurts the body of Christ. Everyone is significant, and every part is important. And what makes it all work well together is unity. There must be unity. And what you can give, what I can give, what we all give, that it comes together in unity. And the scripture is very clear. It says that every person is born of the Spirit of God. Every person is born of the Spirit of God. We all have the same Lord. We all drink of the same Spirit. And this is crucial. This is important. So it says, the Bible says, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free, no one's better than another. No one's better. So it says, literally, if you were born a slave or you were born a free person, no one is better. No one is more significant than the other, because it says we're all one. We all drink of the same Spirit. We all have the same Lord. We all have the same baptism. It draws us back to the Lord. We all have the same salvation and serve the same God. So when it comes to the body, it's crucial that we all look to Christ. Every one of us. We all look to Christ, because everything starts with Him. The body life, everything starts with Him. And it really must. The Bible talks about Jesus as the head. And that's a perfect analogy to speak of, that Jesus as the head. In Colossians 1, 17 and 18, it says, He, Jesus, is before all things. He's before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. I don't know how more clear that you can say it. It's in Jesus that all things hold together. Things don't hold together if we get away from Him, if we don't look to Him. We have to look to Him, because by the Spirit we're directed to Jesus. By the Spirit we're drawn together. So we can be really different with personalities and abilities and aptitudes and way we see things, but it starts with Him. He's the head of all things. He's the one who holds all things together. So we look to Him. We all, everyone, looking to Him. Our unity rests on how we all function in Christ. And in this, we help each other. We strengthen each other. I want to strengthen your walk with God, your walk with the Lord, and that we strengthen one another in our walk with the Lord. If we lose this aspect, we have problems. Because one thing that we have to have is our identity in Christ. This is crucial, to have our identity in Christ, to know who we are, to know we're His. We belong to Him. We've been bought with the price of the blood of Jesus. The scripture says that, and that we are His. We belong to Him. So we're not our own, and that kind of does rub against the individuality of America, like how we see things, that we're not our own. We belong to Him. We belong to something much greater in what He wants to do. So our identity, each of us, our identity in Christ, that we all belong to Him. And we're called to serve Him and to make Him known. Each one of us has that calling. Each one of us. You know, if we lose our Christ identity and our kingdom purpose, you know, we become weak. The body of Christ becomes confused, fractured, and self-focused. And that doesn't make us for a strong body. So we say, wait a minute, that's not what we want. We must keep our eyes on Him, each one of us keeping our eyes on Him, living with a kingdom mindset. Lord, your kingdom come. Your will be done. And it makes a big difference. Because if there's millions and millions of people in the church, if we had millions and millions of wills being done, we don't quite accomplish what needs to be accomplished. But we focus on Him and say, Lord God, your will be done. And let me be a part of it. That I can be a part of it in some way, some manner. That I can be a part of your will being done on this earth. Do you ever see yourself that way? Lord God, I'll play my part. How would you want me to do according to your will to be a part of everything that you're doing on this earth today and a part of the body of Christ? So we keep our eyes on Him. Our unity is key to being a fully functioning body. And we've talked about it. We've talked about this unity. This unity is in Christ by the Spirit of God. Do you know that our abilities to hear God helps with our unity? Your ability to listen to the voice of the Lord. It helps with unity because it's the voice of God that directs us, molds us, and shapes us. So we hear for the Lord. We hear it corporately. But it's also important that you, even on your own time, your time with the Lord, that you hear for the Lord. And sometimes it's just one word. It can be one word from God. But then you need to find out more about that one word. What is he saying? What is he speaking? Sometimes it's very clear. Sometimes you have to dig deeper. Sometimes you have to dig deeper on that word. Say, Lord, I hear this word, but what? You know, give me more. Give me more. And he will. He'll give you more. He'll start explicating that for you and showing you. But we give ear to him to say, Lord, we need to hear your voice. Because he wants to direct us, each one, with our significant purpose. Because each of us has the Spirit of God in us. If we proclaim Jesus as Lord, we have the Spirit of God. And we can hear. We can hear his voice. We just need to give our ears to him and seek him. We are to move and have our being in him. It's important that we operate with the Spirit of God in us. It's important that we operate in God's Spirit. We want to, and this oftentimes hurts the church. It comes against the church. And we know, because we've had our own experiences with this, is that when we operate in a wrong spirit, we hurt the unity of the church. And we've all had those struggles. We've all been tempted to sometimes be upset at somebody and to hold a grudge or to hold something against somebody. But then it doesn't really do the body good, that sometimes we really need to find reconciliation and peace in our hearts. We don't want to operate in the wrong spirit. If we walk in the flesh, or if we walk in a worldly mindset, it hurts the unity of the body. If one person in the church looks over and sees another person in the church and says, you know, that brother is not walking right in the Lord. He's out of fellowship, or he's living a very worldly life, or he's out. You know, it's like it doesn't really reflect upon a person living in Christ. And sometimes then in the body of Christ, there's accountability. We should hold each other accountable in a loving way, in a caring way, in a kind way, to help each other grow in the Lord. Because the Bible says that each one of us are to have the mind of Christ. Each one of us. And that when we do that, it's easy to fulfill the purposes of God because we start flowing together. We start thinking according to his purposes and his will. Another important aspect of unity is what Jesus showed us very much in how he lived his life on earth. Jesus was a servant, and he calls us to be servants. Philippians 2 makes this very clear about the kind of mindset that Christ had. It said, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. That God humbled himself, that he literally humbled himself, that he came as a babe. He came in a weak form. He humbled himself to serve. To serve others, to wash the feet. And that's why he did. He says, I must wash your feet because you must see I came to serve. I came to serve. I came to give. And then he says to the disciples, you must also serve each other. You must also do this for each other. So he shows very clearly the kind of mindset that we're to have, the mindset of a servant. And so this should affect our relationships. Absolutely. People taking on the mindset to serve each other. The mindset behind what we do in the body of Christ is so important. Our mindset is so important. We know there's no superstars in the God's kingdom. There's no superstars. There are great servants. The saints that we usually hold the highest are people who've just gone before us in a manner in which they served and gave their lives in such a great way. The people that we hold in the highest esteem. And this is what it looks like. Because the working of God's kingdom is serving. It's serving. It's actually been said there's only one position in the body of Christ. And that's the position of a servant. So if you want to attain a position in the body of Christ, well, it's there for each of us, for each one of us. It's the position of a servant. Now we know that not everybody may serve in the same manner, but all serve. And servanthood gives for the good of others. For the good of others. And it's an attitude we take on. Which Christ showed us. Also in Philippians 2, Paul speaking to the church, he says, then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. So it's the attitude of a servant that we're to look out for each other. We're to bless each other. No superstars in the body of Christ. So I work to do my part in service of the whole work of Christ that we all do. We all work to do our part to serve the whole. It's important. It's important that I give, that you give, we all give to what God wants to do. And the nature in which we give is so important because our attitude matters. Back to Philippians, chapter 2, verse 14. It says, do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. That's what God wants. He wants us to shine in this depraved world. In a dark world, that, you know, very much by the way that I serve you and you serve and you serve, we serve each other, by the way the body of Christ interacts with one another, we show the light of Christ to the world. Does it not say? It says, they'll know us by our love. But not even so much how much we love them, but how much we love each other. It becomes pretty infectious to join in a church that says, wow, those people love each other. They really do. They care about each other. They serve one another. That draws people. It attracts people because it's something that they don't see in the world. They, in their workplace, they have people just backbiting each other, gossiping, doing, you know, trying to one up on each other so they get the promotion, right? So if they can step on somebody and they get the promotion, they'll do it. Right? We've seen it, we've been there, we've experienced it. But then you have the body of Christ that says, you know, I'm not looking for promotion. I'm looking to build you up. Or I'm looking to build my brothers and sisters up. And I applaud when they get promoted in some way or some aspect, in some manner. We applaud. We're excited. You know, we shine as a church when we work for God's purposes in unity. It's amazing when it all comes together. And the amazing thing about the body of Christ is everybody gets to play. Everybody gets to play a part. Everybody gets to play a role. There's nobody sitting, really. I mean, you're not supposed to have a team with people on the bench. You know? I don't know. I've played a few games where I didn't get in the game. I was just on the bench. There's other games, you know. But what I'm saying is, with Christ and with the body of Christ, there's no bench. Everybody gets to be involved. Everybody plays a role and plays a part. And your part is so important. And your servant's heart will bless so many people around you. So what does it look like? What does it look like when we all serve well? And when the body of Christ comes together? So now, everybody's got their little piece. Hold up your piece of your puzzle. Everybody got one? Okay. All right, look at it for a second. See what you see. If you have to put on your reading glasses, go ahead. I do. I need to adjust my glasses. You see some color? You see some kind of design, but because you only see one piece, you really don't know exactly what it is, right? You might have a little detail that you can pick out on your piece. Maybe there's a detail that you can figure out what it is. But if I look at my piece, I really don't really know what this is. I mean, I don't know fully what my little piece is. It looks nice. It has some nice color on it. But it doesn't let me know what the whole looks like, the whole picture looks like. So when I look at my piece, I realize there's something missing. There's something missing. Because by itself, this one piece doesn't amount to anything. You know, it doesn't really do much. I mean, in fact, I'm left a little confused, like, well, what is it really? What is it really? But something is missing, and that's all the other pieces. All the other pieces are missing. And if I could get all the pieces together and we could figure out how this thing fits, with your piece fitting with my piece and maybe your piece fitting with another person's piece, we might see something. We might see something, really. And that's important. But it's important that though we have one small piece of the puzzle, we realize that the puzzle, that the bigger picture of everything, our piece plays a role. Our piece plays a part. And without our piece, there's something missing. So with my piece, there's a whole lot missing. But without my piece, there's something missing. And so every piece is really important to the puzzle. In fact, we simply need each other. We need one another to make the whole work together. I need your piece. If we had time, we could just start putting this thing together, and then we could orchestrate this thing. We don't have time, but maybe you like to do some puzzles at your house. And everybody gets to play a part. We've done that recently at our house, where everybody got to put pieces and place pieces in the puzzle. And it was fun. Somebody would see something I didn't see, and that was great. They saw something I didn't see, and they put a piece together that I didn't put together because they saw it, I didn't see it, and they played their part. When we all participate with a greater goal in mind, we'll see the bigger picture come together. We'll see it come together. And then we'll really know what we have. We'll really know what we have. You place your piece. I place my piece. And you know what? Your piece is the one you have. Nobody else has that piece. Nobody else has that piece. Your piece is unique. It's absolutely unique. And when you place it well, guess what? There's other people who want to connect with it. In a puzzle, you've got at least four connections, unless you're an end piece. And those end pieces might be a little odd, but that's okay, because we still need the end pieces. And they still have to have two or three connections. Everybody has to be connected with somebody. Everybody plays a role and a part. And they're all significant. See, servants have a way of drawing other people to connect. Because people respond to a servant's heart. It's easy to respond to a servant's heart. So people want to connect. Oh, I'll connect with you. I see that you have a servant's heart. It's easy to connect. A servant's heart attracts others. And again, sometimes the me first or the superstar mentality or if I think that my peace is greater than your peace, well, that tends to repel people. People may not be so interested in connecting to that peace. But we come back to the servant mindset. It's simply put, every piece is needed. Your piece is needed. And the puzzle will not be finished without you. So church, is unity important? Absolutely. It's absolutely. What you give, what you do, every person, every piece is so significant. So that's the question. Can we all work together? Absolutely. Absolutely. If we will walk in the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, absolutely. And it's wonderful when it takes place because, my goodness, when it takes place, awesome things happen. Because when we have the mindset of Christ, when we walk in the Spirit of God in us, the Spirit that God's put in us, if we walk by that Spirit, we will see amazing things. We'll see amazing things happen in the church, in the body of Christ, in the kingdom. We'll see amazing things take place that will affect the culture around us, the people around us. There will be amazing things that are accomplished. And I believe, again, I believe Wednesday night is significant. I believe God wants to bring the church together as a whole, each doing its part. We may not be down in Chester. We may not be in other places across this region. But I pray for God's raising up his kingdom churches and his kingdom people, wherever they're at, to come together, to do a work that's for him, to be unified in the Spirit of God, and to accomplish what God's heart and his will and his purpose is. And my goodness, it's going to bless us when we're a part of something so much greater, so much bigger of what God is doing in the world today. So I don't know about you, but I want to see amazing. I want to see God's kingdom do things that sometimes I don't even think, or we don't even understand what he can do. But in a united church, in a unified body, I don't believe the limitations are off. The limitations are gone. So where's your peace? Are you ready to place your peace and use it and be the mighty, wonderful person that God has called you to be? Well, may God bring exactly what he wants to do, each of us together, to connect and form what he wants to form.